And it's on the theme of hope. And it's interesting because last night it was just a confirmation. Alana spoke about faith and that faith is grounded in hope. And let's stop and pray for just a moment. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Lord, our hearts are full as we're receiving your word. We're being encouraged in worship and fellowship one with another, and you're speaking to our hearts. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you that indeed your presence is here and that you are walking amongst us as well as dwelling in us. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for this precious circle of sisters. Lord, I know that they, each one of them, serve you in amazing ways and pour out for you and pour out onto you, Lord. And I ask you now, Lord, that you would just mightily direct this time. You would have your way. I submit my heart, myself, my thoughts unto you, my words, Lord, that you would teach us what you would have us to know in these moments. And Lord, I pray that this would be an encouraging time for each one of us, Lord, and a strengthening time by your Holy Spirit. Strengthen us by your Spirit. And I pray for fresh hope in each one of our lives. You are the God of all hope, and you live in our temples as the God of all hope, bringing abundant life and hope within us. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, you know, I was thinking about who might be here in our group today, and I thought, you know, a lot has been happening in our lives since we last met together. Good things, difficult things, challenges, so forth, trials, illness. You know, some have been caring for parents, some have lost a parent, some have, like Rebecca's here, just having lost a precious little grandchild that she got to hold for a few minutes. You know, a lot of stuff has been happening, and you know, there have been health issues.
I'm going to jump over.
You know, I've had some
jump
health
over.
Issues. This winter myself, and we've been focusing, you know, different ones of you I know are very involved in nurturing and your homeschooling and bringing leadership to it. So a lot has been happening. Recently I received an email from a beautiful Christian woman in another state, and she's like, Linda, what do I do? My husband is just really into porn. I just don't know what to do. There's just a lot of stuff that's happening, that's going on. And I felt like the Lord was saying, even his people, even his daughters, are losing hope. And our God is a God of hope. And the Lord said we need to look at a couple scriptures and just speak to this issue. And in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5, Peter addresses this. Peter was writing to Christians who were facing tremendous persecution as they were scattered throughout the Middle East. And, you know, they were in the season after Christ had died, but before the whole destruction of the temple that was coming in 70 AD, it was a tremendous time of persecution. And he says in the first chapter of 1 Peter, starting with verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept," this is us sisters and everyone who believes on the Lord, who are kept by the power of God. We're not kept by what we do, or whether we've had our devotions today, or whether we prayed for a half hour today. We're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. And there's so much more in that chapter too. But, you know, the scriptures have a lot to say about hope. In Job, it says that we feel spent without hope.
Yes.
And that's what happens.
Yes.
When we lose hope. It's like, you know. In Psalm 16, it says we can rest in hope. We can find that rest. In Psalm 39, it says our hope is in the Lord. People hope in a lot of things, and that's why hope gets dashed. Some people hope in their church. Some people hope in their big bank account. Some people hope in their good looks. You know, many things. And then when you get old, you know, that what do you do then?
You know? I've been
thinking that for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, does he even know? You know.
God is our hope, it says in Psalm 71. In Psalm 119, we hope in God's word.
Mm.
This is the thing.
Amen.
That is the substance of our hope.
Yes.
On Lamentations, it says it's good that we would hope in the Lord. And then I like this one in Hosea. It says God can make our valleys of Achor as a door of hope.
Amen.
What was the valley of Achor? Achor means trouble.
Yes.
So whatever valley of trouble, God can make that valley of trouble. It was the scene, actually, of Achan's sin. You know, when he saw the coveted jewelry and he took it and buried it in his tent. That was the valley of Achor.
Mm.
But God says he can make our valleys of Achor into a door of hope.
Yes.
A door to
yes.
walk through. So the things that seem like the worst trouble, our God can make them into a door of hope. In Zechariah, we're called as prisoners of hope. In Romans 5, it says we rejoice in hope. And in Romans 5 also, it says hope does not disappoint. And that's where it comes to placing our hope in the Word of God, in the promises of God, in who our Lord is. And the Apostle Paul prays that we may know what is the hope of our Savior's calling in Ephesians 1:18. He understood the need for us, and he prayed that great apostolic prayer in Ephesians 1 and then again in Ephesians 3, praying that we would have hope. In Colossians 1, it says that Christ in us, the hope of glory. And in 1 Timothy 1, it says the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. And then in Hebrews 6, we have hope. Hope set before us as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. There's a whole lot there that I'm not going to get into, but the thought here is that this hope is the anchor of our soul. And in 1 John 3, it says, anyone that has this hope in himself purifies himself. So this ties in with the processes even that Thurla was talking about upstairs. You know, we don't just shake people and say, you know, get with it, get well, get healed, get delivered. But when hope is growing in an individual's life, in a woman's life, a teenager's life, a young man's life, whatever, it starts to purify the life. And I wanted to just speak of the definition of hope. The Greek word in the New Testament is, I think it's pronounced elpis. I'm not sure if anyone knows that, but it's not like, oh, you know, I'm hoping it won't snow today, or, you know, I'm hoping there's enough money in the bank account to cover that check. It's not that kind of hope. The Greek word means a confident expectation with a sure basis. It's a different kind of hope than the hope we use so, you know, flippantly. It's not just an optimistic outlook or wishful thinking. It's a hope that is based on solid certainty. It's biblical hope is resting in God's promises. It's resting on God's word. It's never inferior to our faith, but it's an extension of our faith. It's like, you know, Paul writes in Corinthians, now abideth faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love, but there's the faith, the hope, and the love. And hope is confidence in grace's future work. That God, what he has begun in every one of us, he's begun a good work. And he said he will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's not based on what's happening in our lives now or what we're feeling or what we're hurting, what we're worrying about. And the thing, the nugget that I felt like the Lord was showing me about this hope is that it speaks to and is connected so deeply to our relationship with God, but to every part of the Trinity, to our relationship with God the Father, to our relationship with God the Son, and to our relationship with God the Spirit. And for us, like if I feel like, you know, my hope is starting to spiral down, it's like I feel like God is triggering me, you know, come back into that tender relationship with Father God. Embrace afresh the fullness of what life in Jesus Christ is, and then what have you received from the Holy Spirit? And I just want to, mention in each of those areas, you know, when I think about the relationship with God the Father, I just invariably turn back to Psalm 145, because I think that psalm, to me, it always brings me back to speaking about what my Heavenly Father is like. You know, how often when people are in the midst of it, when Christians are in the midst of it, they start blaming God. And they're like, God, where are you? God, what are you doing? And, you know, it's hard in the midst of it. You know, I've sat with Sue a few times in recent weeks, and just my heart goes out so much to them, and just really praying for them. And, you know, God is giving her hope in the midst of this. And she's standing on the Word of God. And their desire is that their lives would be a testimony of their faith in Jesus Christ through all of this. It's just amazing. But they're in the midst of it, and to have hope in the midst of this. But coming back to Psalm 145, it's so beautiful. Yes. How it describes our Heavenly Father. Yes. And when we start to lose hope, God, where are you in my life? What are you doing? And, you know, in verse 3 it says, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. This is part of our great task as mothers, to declare what God is doing to the next generation. Verse 5 says, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty. But I'm going to jump down to verse 8, because here's what our Father God is like. All the time. Yeah. He's gracious. And he's full of compassion. And he's slow to anger. And he's great in mercy. And he's good to all. And his tender mercies are all over all his works. And if we skip down to verse 17, there's so much here. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. Gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. Sometimes we think, God, do you hear me? The Lord hears. The Lord hears.
Yes.
And he knows. He knows even those nights when we're crying on our pillows or going for a walk and crying out to him. He is near to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. He preserves all who love him. All. He preserves all. He preserves all of us. This is what we can base our hope on. This is truth. This is what our Father God is like. And he yearns for us to have that relationship with him and to let these kinds of words in the midst of the most difficult times be salve on the hurts, on the pain that might be going on in our lives. And so that's, you know, the relationship with Father God, and then the relationship with Jesus Christ. And here's where I think, again, we can miss it. And as I'm speaking these things, I'm sure you're catching the double level that, yes, it's encouragement and hope for us, but encouragement and hope for those that might be in your flock group, or that you might pick up the phone and call, or your children, or the neighbor next door that's like, you know, I just don't have any hope anymore. Just, you know, I've lost hope. And so it's God is wanting to restore and build up the hope in our lives, but he's also wanting us to be messengers of hope, to be those who bring hope to many. I think who Thurlow was thinking of this afternoon when he was wondering who's the girl who was raising children, and I actually think it was Michelle. She was on the playground. It was when they were living up in Frederick, and the kids were there just playing on some of the play equipment, and you know, another young mother was there and noticed that when Michelle spoke to her kids and said, you know, it's time to go now or whatever, there wasn't this ranting and temper tantrum and all, but the kids got ready to go and all, and just the obedience. And Joey and Jesse, you know, I don't even think there was a Rachel then, we're ready to go with mom. And that simple act of obedience spoke so to this mother who also had her two children there and was going, you know, crazy with trying to get them to obey in any way. And I think it opened a few doors where Michelle was able to meet with this mom a few times and just encourage, put some hope into this mom that there could be another way to raise your children, where, you know, there could be order and obedience and joy in the process. And so this is part of our relationship. I think it stems out first our relationship with God the Father, and so there's that moment when we think of Jesus Christ, when we receive Jesus into our lives. I hope every one of you can even right now think back to that moment. I can remember that moment when I knelt on the linoleum floor in my bedroom after a morning of vacation Bible school, where the pastor on the way home, taking a bunch of us home in the car, had said to me, you know, would you know that you were going to heaven if you died today? And I couldn't say yes. And so he spoke to me and witnessed to me. And on the farm we have a big lunch, and so I had lunch with my family when I got home, and then as soon as I could, hurried upstairs to my bedroom that I shared with my sister, and just read that little tract, Four Things God Wants You to Know.
Amen.
And got down there on my knees and received the Lord. But Amen. The relationship with Jesus Christ is so much more than that. That's the beginning.
Yeah.
I hope each of us can remember that beginning when it was for us. But going on, you know, he is our light in our darkness. He's the good shepherd of our souls. How often I come back to Psalm 23 and I'm like, Lord, you restore my soul. And I pray for myself, Lord, restore my soul. Or I pray for someone else, Lord, restore their soul. He is the good shepherd. This is a living relationship today that strengthens our hope. He is our bread of life, our sustenance. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the Lamb of God. He's always pointing beyond himself to the Father. You know, he said, I came that I would reveal the Father. And he's the vine, our connectedness, where we can get that energy that comes from the root. And he's the door. And so knowing Jesus is not just all these basic things. And again, you know, thinking of the processes Thurla was talking about upstairs, it's through those processes that we enter into hopefully the depth of a relationship. It's not just getting it up here, but it's like that those aha moments will begin to happen in our lives. Jesus is restoring my soul at this very moment. Whether it's in an act of worship, whether it's in a repentance before the Lord, humbling myself. And we don't walk alone. You know, that was the thing with this, I mentioned at the beginning, I don't know if you were all in here, when I got this email from this Christian lady in another state, you know, just crying out, my husband is struggling with pornography. And she says, Linda, I just feel so alone. Because we don't want to talk about it. You know, he doesn't want to talk about it. We don't want to do it. We don't know what to do with it. And just the desperation that was in that. And, you know, with the internet so readily available everywhere, you know, this problem is just one of many that's becoming more rampant. And then in concluding, so we can open up and talk, hope as our relationship with God, the Holy Spirit grows. And in this area, you know, I think back to, again, back in 1979, again, sitting at my kitchen table when I was reading John 15, and I was reading about Jesus said that he was praying that his joy might be in me and that his joy would remain. And I was just pouring out my heart to the Lord and said, I want a fullness of that joy. And he just came in those moments and baptized me by his Spirit. And I began to speak in tongues and nobody was there. I was writing in my little journal these phonetic sounds. I thought, if this never happens again, at least I have it here. The other day I was looking at that journal again. But the next day, as I, you know, was talking with the Lord, I didn't need to open the journal or anything. The praise was just coming praise forth the there. But I am concerned, my sisters, that there are many sitting in our congregation these days that have slipped in, have walked in, they're looking for more, but they've never had that experience. Mm. You know, someone said, I guess, last night that a lot of us use biblical terms and biblical words, but they have as many different meanings as there are people in the room, and the sense of the fullness of the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not that reality in many lives. You know, maybe we sing the songs that were motivated by life in the Spirit, and, oh, I love that song, but don't understand it comes from a wellspring. Spring up a well that has been birthed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is such a creative source in our lives, and that's so much a part of the hope. And so, you know, I pray that each one of you has that experience, because I think that that is a part of our hope. It is a key, a signature part of our hope. And so, you know, I'm going to, in just a couple minutes, just finish up talking and open it up. But I do think this issue of hope is a is critical. It's critical for our lives that we would not lose hope in the difficult moments. But it's critical that there would be the understanding to be able to come alongside when someone just feels like, you know. I pray that somehow this dear lady who sent me that email, that, you know, I'm in communication with her, that God will use me to help her to have hope again. And to realize that, you know, whatever happens with she and her husband, and she doesn't know what's going to happen, but that she will remain in hope in the Lord and realize that indeed she's not in this alone. I might just conclude with Psalm, if you want to look for a moment at Psalm 57. This was one of David's just prayers to God when he was in the midst of it. I have a note at the beginning of my chapter of Psalm 57 in here, that this was when he fled from Saul into the cave, and he just cries out here. And in the first five verses, he's pleading for protection. He's saying, "Be merciful to me, O God. My soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge." It's like, you know, he's clinging to God for hope. And he's basing his hope not in the safety of that cave where he's fleeing from Paul, but he's saying, "I'm crying out to God Most High," verse 3, "to God who performs all things for me. And he shall send from heaven and save me." What hope that is, that God is sending his ministering angels when we lose hope. He's sending from heaven. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. And who's that one? The evil one. And then there's Selah, which means stop and think about that. That it's God. When we're feeling the attack, God is reproaching the one that would swallow us up. "And sends forth his mercy and truth. My soul is among lions." And we might feel that the lions are about to get me, and it's not the lion in Narnia. "I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, their tongue a sharp sword." But then he again turns to God. "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above the earth." And then he begins to praise. And praise is a real key to our having hope. You know, I loved what Scott spoke about worship.
Yes. Amen.
So run true with everything within me about worship. Because one moment in worship, I've experienced such healing, such impartation of hope, such deliverance. And you know, I hope that those that we are working with in any aspect of ministry, that again, the whole understanding of worship and what the relationship and the presence of God ministers in our life is being imparted. Because yes, some people will want to sit with you and talk with you for hours and hours and hours about their problems, because they're keeping their eyes on their problems. And they're losing hope because they're looking at their problems. And yes, we need to listen and have time to minister. But we all know that it's when, just like David, he turned from looking at his difficult circumstance and he turned and fixed his eyes on God. And that when we turn and put our eyes on the Lord, that's when the wellspring and the hope starts to fill up. And he says, verse 7, "My heart is steadfast, O God." When you think of saying that when you're in the cave and Saul's out there with his men about, and you know, wanting to find you and kill you. Mm-hmm. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory. Awake, lute and harp. Mm-hmm. He's ready to get the instruments out there in the cave. Wow. And start worshiping. I will awaken the dawn. Yes. I will praise you, O Lord. You know, I have some little eighth notes that I draw beside some of these verses when I see, oh, we have a worship song about that. I love this. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praise to you among the nations. For your mercy reaches onto the heavens and your truth onto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be above all the earth. And my heart for each one of us, sisters, is that we won't lose hope. The God of all hope lives within you. And he is for you. And his life is a Zoe abundant life within our lives. And he is calling us to hope and to minister hope as he opens doors in thousands of different ways in our lives every day. Sometimes our children lose hope. They enter disappointment. And we're able to speak words that will bring hope to them also. So let's open it up a little bit, and perhaps you'd like to speak to hope or anything else that you feel that the Lord has brought on your heart, and then we'll close with some time of prayer. Oh, one other thing maybe I will give out right now, since at the end I may forget, is I felt like the Lord encouraged me to put this together. So you can take one. This is not original with me. But again, I felt like this is full of the Word of God. These are full of truths. I call them black and white truths in a fuzzy gray world. And I love that statement, but it's not original with me. It's a quote by a lady named Faye Ruth, which I don't know anything about. But she made this statement, and I thought that's true, you know, because we live in a fuzzy gray world today. But this is truth. You know, if we start to praise and meditate on the first page about what our God is like and who he is, I think that will build up and encourage our hope. And then the next two pages, it's like you could take one of these, since there are 31 of them, one of these a day, and just proclaim this. Like, what is today? Today is the 27th. So here it's the Lord of glory. And so rejoice in the Lord, you are my glory. You are the all-glorious one today. And meditate on that and be encouraged in that. And then the next page is, I've actually used this at times. You know, it's one thing to say, Lord, bless my children today. Or Lord, bless my grandchildren today. And it's another thing to pray, Lord, help my grandchildren to grow in grace today.
Yeah.
Lord, give my grandchildren a servant's heart today. And here's 31 things that we can be praying for our children to be built into their lives. Again, this is not original with me. The next page is something the Lord gave me a while back. We were talking about atmosphere or values. And in the Schweitzer home, when our boys were growing up, these were values that we wouldn't throw out the window for anything. And so this was something God gave me. And we just would continue to work on together in our home and our family. Love for one another when the kids are fighting and ready to knock off one another's heads or whatever. But a saying that we developed was the Schweitzer kids are going to be for one another. They're not going to be against one another. And when I see the way my sons love each other, and the daughters-in-law today is just so awesome, yes, that God has worked that. And, you know, I come across some families where the grown siblings are not even talking to one another. And so, again, this is not a given, but these are things we can pray for. Forgiveness and reconciliation, teaching our children to forgive, commitment and covenant, a kingdom of God focus, that we're just not going to be the type of family to, you know, raise your children to get a good education and get a good job and get a good home and da-da-da-da-da, but the kingdom of God will be the focus. Belief and prayer. So many things that we actually prayed for, whether it was a broken car sitting on 270 or a washer that we needed, and see God provide. How this builds, yes, faith in your children. And the importance of the word, you know, it had the kids memorizing scripture before they were barely able to read. But this was planting that word, yes, that gives hope within them. A merry heart. Haven't we all found out sometimes when this, you know, we'd be sitting around the dinner table, it would be so tense, and then somebody would say something that was just so hilarious, and we would break into laughter, and the healing, yes, that would come to us all, that merry heart, the worship of God. You know, Thurlow and I marvel that it was as our boys were coming into their teenage years that we entered into that understanding that the reason I live is to worship God. It's not just about busyness and service, it's about worship. And somehow our kids bought into that, and they're worshipers. And to impart that to your children, that the worship of God is a priority, and humility. Being able to say, I was wrong, I blew it, I messed it up, to our children, to whoever. Salvation, again, that we don't just assume our kids are receiving the Lord by osmosis because they're in our family, but we're communicating that. Commitment to responsibility and integrity, to following through, the value of hard work, you know. We have them out there delivering the newspaper and the thunderstorms in the summertime and the snowstorms in the wintertime. And
still have the stories.
You know, maybe we went overboard on that. I don't know.
No, you didn't.
But, you know, I believe in hard work. Maybe too much, I don't know. But, I think that sometimes, I can't get off on this, but, you know, I still occasionally sub in the schools, and I just see how lazy some kids are. I'm sorry. You know, they just don't want to do anything. You know, they want everything to be done for them. You probably see it. And, you know, it's the culture maybe that they've grown up in. But if we can impart, you know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to work. It's a good thing to love work. And, you know, it's not it's not the end all, but whatever, I could go on. I'm sorry, you can see that these are lasting values. And then the last page, and you've probably seen copies of this before, but again, who we are in Christ. You know, when you're losing hope or whatever, you know, just begin to read down through these again. This is what our so great salvation is all about. And so enjoy this. Enjoy these black and white truths. Mm-hmm. And share them with whoever. Share them all over the world. Mm-hmm. So, who would like to share any thoughts on hope? Or anything else? It doesn't have to be on.
It think there's probably no one in this room who isn't going through something. I know there's a lot of pain in this room today.
Mm-hmm.
I know we have sisters who are fighting battles, and many of us were acquainted with each other's, you know. Some of you have known the heartache of divorce, and some of you know the loneliness of singleness, and some of us know the frustration of marriage at times. Trust me, there are times we've envied you. There are.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved sister Brenda's battling cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my dear warrior sister Marie is suffering intense pain right now. And some of us are just weary, you know. Marie and I know that after taking care of elderly mothers, you don't just get over it right away. A good night's sleep, you know, your body becomes sleep deprived, and there's a weariness that can take even years to recover from. And can I share what we have in common? Cheryl and I know the torment and agony and shame of drug addiction. And whether it was our own fault that we got there, we find ourselves in these places. And you know, Sue and I were talking this morning, and I said, can you imagine going off through this without faith?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are so blessed. And Rebecca and I have been talking almost nonstop since I walked in the building, having lost two little granddaughters, you know, and our daughters losing children halfway through their pregnancies. And, but as you were reading in 1 Peter, I just kind of read a little bit ahead of where you were. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, right after, you know, where you were reading. Though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, sisters, and are being grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the Greek word there for revelation is apokalypto. It's the apocalypse, the tribulation. And we see it. Listen, I don't want to mess with anybody's eschatology. You guys kind of know my own heart. I think we're going to be here through until the bowls of wrath. I do. And we're going to be tested and tried by fire so that those who have no hope in those days. You know, Rick and Sue have already ministered to a lot of people in the hospital who are in the same situation but have no hope. Marie's been in warfare that none of us can even possibly imagine, cannot conceive of. And we can learn from her warrior strength, and we do. Whenever she stands up to preach the word, I leave there feeling a little that this, I can be a warrior, I can do this. And we can encourage and exhort one another as long as the day is. And Cheryl and I know what addiction feels like, and so now we can minister to people who struggle that because our hope brought us through. And we can tell people, you will get on the other side of this. You will get on the other side of this. And Rebecca and I are going to grieve for the rest of our lives for the grandchildren we've lost. But we have hope. We're going to spend eternity with them, and we're going to be able to minister to other grandmothers. And so, when we were praying over Rick, I was just thinking of an old song we used to sing back here at Northgate before we left in 1983 to go to Massachusetts. And I think it was a song we learned through the New Covenant churches. And part of it is from Psalm 60, the very end of Psalm 60. But it says, we are not like those who shrink back with hopeless gloom, frightened by the roaring of the lion's doom. But we will persevere till the passing days are done. For the battle has been won. And the battle has been won. But we know the battle's already been won. And then Psalm 60 goes on to say, through God we shall do valiantly. Through our God we shall do valiantly. And we go on, through God we shall do valiantly, for it is He who will tread down the adversary. And that is our hope.
Yes.
It is that the God of all glory has done everything we would ever need Him to do. It is there for us in that heavenly realm. By His grace, we're praying it from heaven down to earth every day. But it doesn't take the pain away, does it, Marie?
Mm-hmm.
Right here and now. It doesn't take our grief away, does it, Rebecca? And those of you that lost children. And shame takes a while to disappear, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
It sure does. But We have hope. We have this hope, we have an earnest expectation that the God who began this good work in us will complete it, so that in these days that are already upon the earth, listen, the things that we imagine if we're here for the tribulation, can happen to us, are happening to Christians all over.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I told a single sister the other day in her 40s, because she said, I'm so afraid. How will I take care of my mother? I said, God will show you the way every step of the way. And I said, will you please pray for me? Because I'm terrified of watching my children be murdered and of watching my grandchildren be burned to death, like Christian grandmothers in Syria are having to watch their grandchildren be burned to death right now and be beheaded. But we will stand with one another, whatever each day brings us, because we have an eternal hope that whatever we might experience, as we are passing through, sisters, we are passing through. Mm-hmm. This is all a vapor. Mm-hmm. It is a painful vapor at times. Oh. It's a joyful vapor at times. But we can never lose sight of the fact that it is just a vapor. Mm-hmm. And that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming back. Mm-hmm. And on that great day, we will ride with him into battle. We're going to get to taste just a little bit of what Marie has experienced. And so, we teach our grandchildren to sword fight. You know? And I'm planning on taking fencing lessons, because I want to have some skill with a blade. But mainly, you want to have some skill with this blade.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Today, the days to come, know how to use the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal, but they are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And we need to be praying for one another.
Yes.
And I'm so glad we get to come together a couple of times a year, so that we're reminded of one another's needs, and we're reminded of how much we love each other.
Yes.
How much we mean to each other.
And, yes.
We've set our hands to the plow. There is no going back.
No.
There is no going back. And I'm sure Marie would tell you, I don't know a thing about going to war, but you don't go into a war. You never go expecting anything but victory. Did you, in the tank? Did you get in expecting failure?
No.
I didn't think so.
Marines don't think that.
I didn't think so. I didn't think so. And so we have an earnest expectation that all the victory that's been purchased for us will be manifested in our lives and in our families. And when we stumble and we trip, or it feels like the enemy struck a blow, then by God we turn it around and use it against him. And I told Rebecca, the devil is going to be so sorry he touched our grandchildren, because we're going to make sure, as we fight for other people's children, that he doesn't take another one from anybody we know.
Oh.
And
I got a letter to a bunch of women who I homeschool with, because a lot of women were just sad or depressed or feeling like they're failing and feeling like they just don't have it all together and they can't do it anymore, and February blues. I'm like, spring will come. and I say that all the time. Spring is coming. Not just even when it's summer, I say spring is coming. If I'm going through something, I'm like, spring's coming, because it feels like winter in the spirit sometimes. But I just sent them a letter, because I was in my devotional and I was just reading about when Peter walked on the water toward Jesus. And it just ministered to my heart. It's not a big revelation, but it was just ministered to my heart that, you know, we all have to go through stages of being someone in that story. You know, we're either the disciples in the boat watching Peter get out, and then we feel bad that we didn't get out of the boat, and so, you know, we feel bad. Or we're Peter getting out of the boat, and we have that, like, quick high, and then we feel bad because we're sinking, you know, and we took our eyes off of Jesus. And no matter what happens, there's always, I think, a sense of, you know, we have our eyes on the Lord, and then we're human, and we take our eyes off of the Lord, or we don't obey and act in faith like we should have, and we're all doing that kind of stuff. And we're doing it every single day of our lives. I mean, every day I know I've failed at something, and then every day God encourages me and lifts me up. And the thing that's awesome about that story is that, you know, I love when I'm like Peter and I feel like I'm stepping out of the boat and I'm walking on the water. It's a great feeling as your eyes are on Jesus and everything is looping around you, and you know, you have that zeal, you have that mountain of faith on the inside of you, or maybe it's a seed of faith, but it's beating the odds, you know? And it's a great place to be in. But God spoke to me when I was reading that and said, although that is a great place to be in, when was he the closest to me? And he was the closest when he was sinking. Mm-hmm. He had the hand of Jesus. Mm-hmm. He was touching the hand of Jesus when he was sinking, when he lost all of his faith, when he got distracted, when he missed it completely. That's when Jesus was the closest. Mm-hmm. And that's when they were he was the most near at that moment. And he just said, just see the truth in both situations. Just don't focus on the good moments, but just see how close God is when we think we're blowing it, you know? Because there was still something that was beautiful that was happening in the moment that he was sinking. Yes. There's something beautiful. You're being rescued by God. There's nothing more you can do. It's not your faith anymore. It's not your hope anymore. It's not your anything anymore. It's just, it's all Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you're done. And he's always there. And he always comes through. And it's the closest moment that you're going to probably have with him is when you're sinking in the water. That is when he's the closest. And so I said, when we feel like we're sinking and we feel like the water's coming over and we can't get air, that's when I know the touch of God is coming. That's when I know he's really the closest that he's going to be. And that's a beautiful place. And to not enjoy so much, but just to appreciate that place. Because it's never fun to drown. But it is it is good to appreciate the closeness of God in that moment. And the hope to know that he's going to rescue you, you know, in that moment. So,
amen. Amazed at what God will use. And in my case, prior to my diagnosis, I was seeking the Lord, and he asked me, are you ready to dance with me yet?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Are you ready to dance? And I heard it again after my diagnosis on my way to the lab to have blood drawn. Are you ready to dance with me yet? Are you ready to dance? And I've been dancing. Blood work every week. Mm-hmm. Chemotherapy sessions once a month for 3 months. A blood transfusion. Mm-hmm. Last month, surgery. Mm-hmm. And it has been something I've never experienced before, because I've had to trust God completely. Mm-hmm. Totally trust God. Mm-hmm. And since October, I've had an awesome prayer partner. We pray about 3 or 4 times a week. She actually lives in New Jersey. Mm. And she's quite fervent. I mean, she's a strong prayer warrior. And she, the first time we prayed together, I fell asleep.
Just pray so long.
But the prayers we prayed all came true.
Oh,
I mean, it was amazing. My surgeon, who was an older man from Georgetown, told me 3 times, I am so pleased how the surgery went. You can believe how well it went. The tumor had shrunk to a minuscule size. They got everything they could see and just turned to me. And they did an exploratory procedure with the laparoscope. And he was just blown away. And when I went to see him last Thursday, he said, you just look so well. Mm-hmm. You look so well. And he said, I want you to have maybe some more chemo as an insurance But all the things we prayed for, God did.
Wow.
I know he was in the operating room with them because it couldn't have gone that well without him.
Hmm.
The skilled nurses I had, the awesome nursing care I had there. And I had planned to go to rehab because I'm actually alone. I have an adult daughter who just moved, but I really wanted to go to rehab for some more rest. But I was doing so well, and my doctor is not about philosophy to have you go lying around. So I said, well, I want you to go home.
Hmm.
So they sent me home, and I really have done very well. My daughter's
wow.
left. But are we ready to dance with the Lord? Mm. We want to be in control. And I guess if you were to rank me, I'm probably like a number 5 on the scale of a control freak, because I like stuff in order, and I want to know what's going on. And I had my plans. I had 2 job interviews. I have a 2nd master's degree. I'm going to do this. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
He likes to lead when he dances, doesn't he?
Yeah, he must be
that's
the leader.
Yeah.
And dancing was never anything that I was real fond of. I'm not a very good dancer.
Wow.
But I'm learning to dance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still learning to dance. And there is, we say we want its righteousness. But saying it and having it actually worked are 2 different things. But I found myself in my hunger, and not just the illness, but prior to that. Why isn't this working in my life, God? Why aren't things working right? Why do I act like this? And when he brings the answer, are you going to be willing to, change?
Yeah.
Are you
going
to be willing to let him work it in you to be different? Are you ready to dance? Takes flexibility, openness. You're going to go here, you're going to go there, you might go backwards, you might go forward. All kinds of ways people dance, Depends on who's leading.
Mm-hmm.
But, I've had an experience which I never thought I would ever have.
Wow.
It never came on my radar that it would ever go this way. But God has something for me. I don't know what it is. And I'm going to be in hot pursuit to find out what it is.
Amen.
Never thought this would come out of one.
Sorry.
Brenda.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
I think for me, when I think about hope, it's the person of Jesus Christ. The person. And a few months ago, my mother, she was diagnosed, or the doctor saw a mass on her lungs, and she's going through some different tests to see where she is in all of this. And as she was in the process of doing the battery of tests to schedule a surgery date, she was at home with my father and a friend of theirs, and she had a stroke, which put everything else on pause so they could tend to that. And so she's been doing a lot of physical therapy, and she's regained a lot of strength, and so now we're back at the process of doing the battery of tests again to see if indeed or when she's going to have this mass removed. But the thing that stands out most to me as I look at my mom is her faith. Unshakable faith.
Mm-hmm.
Full of hope and glory. Sometimes it makes you wonder, okay, Mama, all that we see and we experience and we listen as you're, processing through this, is that for our benefit?
Mm.
What are you and Daddy really talking about?
Mm.
in the back room. But to suffice it to say, and I think I shared it with Linda in a little email, her optimism is so contagious because her God is just so real, so real. And the word, it preempts everything. And if we, for a moment, as believers, can enter into that place where we really believe, and a paradigm shift of our thoughts, no matter what it really looks like, and no matter what all the other reports are, you know, and even that, no, for real, no matter what, Mama has, again, already stepped out of death into life. She's already, you know, going to live and not die, no matter what, and she's going to be declaring the words of the Lord. If we can really keep that in the forefront of our thoughts as you're going through the storms.
Yes.
Yesterday, Brenda and I were kind of talking. We got here a little early. And I just want to read from Acts 2, something that the Lord has just been placing on my heart. And it was something that Peter was sharing with the folks that Jesus had quoted. John had was even able to say it without reading it, you know, because it comes from Psalm 16. But anyway, from Acts 2. Starting at verse 23, and it just so ministered to me because I could only imagine my mother being able to really say this as a believer, full of hope, that I can hear Mama say, I saw the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. So again, when I think about hope, I think about the person, the promises, the power of Jesus Christ. Because my mom loves the Lord with long life, he will satisfy her, and he will show her his salvation, be it here in the earth realm or in his presence. It's all good.
It's all good.
We can rest in the hope.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I think every one of you probably.
Are we too loud?
No.
Yes. Yes. <You're> the attention.
have things on your heart that you would like to share. It would be fun if we had more time. But I encourage you, don't leave this weekend without sharing with someone. If you've come and you know you need to talk and have prayer with someone, don't leave without talking and opening up and having that great privilege that we would bear one another's burdens and pray for one another. And let's just take a few minutes and pray with one individual beside you.